Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, June 16th, 2026. We're halfway through June already, and the solstice, the summer solstice, is Sunday. So that's the longest day of the year, longest light. So then we start to, and it always surprises me how quickly we see after that happens that the days get shorter. It amazes me, like it does in December for the winter solstice. Right after that longest night of the year, it's like it's blatantly obvious that the days start getting longer. So it's just magical time. It really, really is. But welcome summer. Summer is here. Like it's not been here for the past few months for us in Colorado, but kind of exciting, really. And it's amazing that the year is half over too. So I don't know. Everything is zooming, just zooming. So it's important to pay attention. It's just important to pay attention because everything goes so quickly. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that this month was the month of my grandchildren's birthday. Two of them, two out of the three. And it was really cute because Jared, my son, sent me pictures, little videos of them. And Bo, my grandson, turned 6 on Wednesday, the 11th. And Maisie turned 5 on Sunday, the 14th. So he takes this picture. He's got the two girls, his two sisters, are running down the hallway to his room with a handful of balloons. And they open his door and they flip on the light. And he is dead asleep. I mean, they wake him out of a sound sleep, screaming happy birthday. The light goes on. He's got his arm over his eyes, you know, because he's, I mean, and you know that feeling of being like shaken out of sleep, you know, like startled awake. That's one of the most miserable feelings I know. You know, it's like you just, your whole body is out of whack. So anyway, they jump on him, they give him his balloons, and the last picture in this little series of 5 pictures, including that little video, was him holding on his balloons. He just rolled over and went back to sleep, but he was holding on to his balloons, so it was really cute. Now, Maisie Ray, Jared sent me her pictures from her morning, and he said, this girl was born to celebrate her birthday. She woke up early, she got dressed, and she already had her little birthday headband crown on. So she was ready when they opened the door to wake her up. And that's just her. I mean, that's just her. Bo, I know, is happy for his birthday, but at the same time, you know, a guy's got to sleep. Who knows what time Maisie woke up? Who knows what time she woke up? But anyway, they were really cute. So they had their little birthdays individually, which is good, rather than lump them together, even though they're only 3 days apart. So they had their little celebrations separately, like a dinner and birthday cake. And then on Sunday, they went to Chuck E. Cheese with a bunch of kids. So they celebrated. Jared said he was exhausted after all of that, but it was just really cute just to see the two of them and how different they are. But she's just on top of it. You know, she's on it. And she is so funny. She's just a funny, bright little spirit. She's a little artist. Bo's a thinker. Bo's like an engineer mind. But Maisie is just a kind of a wild artist dancer. You know, she's something. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because it was just funny and cute and sweet. But you are listening to Empowerment, and this show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, just go to 12radio.com and click chat. You can find a YouTube link posted under my banner. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel, which is www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. And it's Empowerment with Kelly Whetstone on YouTube as well. I don't do readings on the show, but if you'd like a reading or a healing from me, you can find me every day on 1-2-listen.com, usually available later morning Pacific into the evening. If you don't see me or if I'm busy, just schedule a call or put in a callback request and I'm notified immediately via text. And I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats at 1-2-listen.com a few times a week, typically Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, the new and full moons, and the 12th of each month. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 1-2-listen.com and sign up for 1-2 promotions. While you're there, post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board. It's just a wonderful way that we can support you as the advisors at 1-2-listen. We moderate that board, which means we give our attention to your intentions, or we celebrate with you what has come into your experience that you're thankful for. I mean, it's great. There are power in numbers, and agreement is rocket fuel for what you're looking to bring into your experience if you're posting something that you're working on demonstrating or manifesting. It's just a great way to support you, so please take advantage of it, especially since you can post anonymously. No reason not to. I just want to say thanks again for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7. There are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 1-2radio.com. Every show that I've done on YouTube, you can access, and it's been a year now since I started on YouTube. I think it's been about a year. I think that was May. So you can find all of them there for the previous year. But you can download a show from anybody, anytime you want. So, you know, it's a good source of inspiration, information, and support. So I invite you to take advantage. I did want to let you know that I have my Here Comes the Sun in honor of the summer arriving officially. It is a 15-minute session. And in this session, we remove energetic blocks that keep you from shining your light and experiencing your good. Limiting beliefs, doubt, fear, unworthiness, etc., can all be released so that you can experience your greatest expression. And it's a really great healing. And you can kind of keep that in mind as I share in the teaching segment. I'm going to talk about assumption again, and I'm not going to get into it now. But man, I'll tell you what, it's huge. It's huge. So that was just a little... That was a little commercial for the teaching segment that you're going to listen to in about 5 minutes. But I just want to say thanks to Serena. And let's move into that teaching segment by listening to a song called Goa Dreams. This is by Karma Cosmic from the Music for Tantra and Meditation CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. Thank you. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I bet it's very, I don't know, emotional, I guess. I thought it was really lovely and kind of big. So, hope you enjoyed it. Sorry, voice is doing a couple of little weird things, as usual. So, I want to talk about assumption. A couple of months ago, I did a series of shows based on the four agreements, just using that as a kind of each one as a foundation for the show, and doing four shows according to the four agreements. After reading that book, the two agreements that really come into my mind often are the second one, which is don't take things personally, because nothing is personal. Nobody is doing anything to you. Everybody is just speaking and acting from their own influences, right? Everybody is just showing, we're all just showing each other ourselves. That's really the truth of it. So that's a big one. Don't think, no matter what, don't take things personally, because it never is personal. And the third agreement, don't make assumptions. And that one is the one that really, I guess maybe recently, has just really stuck with me. And, you know, when I kind of go to like jump to a conclusion or assume something, I get a little tap on the shoulder reminding me of it. And it's very, very powerful. Really, really a powerful concept. Ruiz wrote, Don Miguel Ruiz in The Four Agreements wrote, "We have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe their truth. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally. Then we blame them and react by sending emotional poison with our word." He wrote, "It's always better to ask questions than to make an assumption, because assumptions set us up for suffering. We make all sorts of assumptions because we don't have the courage to ask questions." Now, that in itself is kind of like a little keg of dynamite. But I went back and found just so much information and so many notes that I'd taken years ago from Neville Goddard about assumption. So I really want to expand this by sharing what Neville wrote about it and and kind of bring it full circle, you know, just bring it full circle. And I think by the time we're over, by the time the show's at its end, we will have made that circle. So he wrote, "Since what we believe to be the quote-unquote real physical world is actually only an assumptive world, what appears to be solid reality is actually the result of quote-unquote expectations or assumptions. Your assumptions determine not only what you see, but also what you do, for they govern all your conscious and subconscious movements towards the fulfillment of themselves." I'm going to read that again and just let it roll around in your head. "Your assumptions determine not only what you see, but also what you do, for they govern all your conscious and subconscious movements towards the fulfillment of themselves." William Blake wrote, "What seems to be is to those to whom it seems to be." We live what we believe. We live what we believe. We assume something's going to be the way it's going to be because it's been that way before. Romans 14:14 says, "There is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean, because there is nothing unclean of itself or clean of itself. You should assume the best and think only of that which is lovely and of good report." This is Neville. "It is not superior insight, but ignorance of this law of assumption. If you read into the greatness of men some littleness with which you may be familiar, or into some situation or circumstance an unfavorable conviction, Your particular relationship to another influences your assumption with respect to that other and makes you see him in that which you do see. If you can change your opinion of another, then what you now believe of him cannot be absolutely true, but is only relatively true. Stuart Wilde wrote, "When we judge and criticize people personally, we define reality and engage the ego. Light couldn't exist if there were no darkness in which it could shine. Goodness can't exist if there is no evil with which to compare it. So everything is relative. Everything is relative." Neville goes on to tell a story that I would boldly say probably everyone on the planet can relate to. He wrote, "One day, a costume designer described to me her difficulties in working with a prominent theatrical producer. She was convinced that he unjustly criticized and rejected her best work, and that often he was deliberately rude and unfair to her. Upon hearing her story, I explained that if she found the other meaning the producer, rude and unfair, it was a sure sign that she herself was the one wanting, and that it was not the producer, but herself that was in need of a new attitude. I told her that the power of this law of assumption and its practical application could be discovered only through experience, and that only by assuming that the situation was already what she wanted it to be, could she prove that she could bring about the change desired. Her employer was merely bearing witness, telling her by his behavior what her concept of him was." Again, I got to repeat these. I've got them bolded for a reason here. "Her employer was merely bearing witness, telling her by his behavior what her concept of him was." Think about the people we have a hard time with. Think about that. And that's exactly what's happening. We believe that a person is a certain way, that they're going to act a certain way, and then they prove us right because we believe it. So he continues, "I suggested that it was quite probable that she was carrying on conversations with him in her mind, which were filled with criticism and recriminations. There was no doubt but that she was mentally arguing with the producer." And here's another biggie. "For others only echo that which we whisper to them in secret." I asked her if it wasn't true that she talked to him mentally, and if so, what those conversations were like. She confessed that every morning on her way to the theater, she told him just what she thought of him, in a way she would never have dared address him in person. The intensity and force of her mental arguments with him automatically established his behavior towards her. She began to realize that all of us carry on mental conversations, but unfortunately, on most occasions, these conversations are argumentative. When she realized what she'd been doing, she agreed to change her attitude and to live by this law faithfully, by assuming that her job was highly satisfactory and her relationship with the producer was a very happy one. To do this, she agreed that before going to sleep at night, on her way to work, and at other intervals during the day, she would imagine that he had congratulated her on her fine designs, and that she in turn had thanked him for his praise and kindness. To her great delight, she soon discovered for herself that her own attitude was the cause of all that befell her. The behavior of her employer miraculously reversed itself, his attitude echoing, as it had always done, that which she had assumed, now reflected her changed concept of him. What she did was by the power of her imagination. Her persistent assumption influenced his behavior and determined his attitude toward her. With the passport of desire on the wings of a controlled imagination, she traveled into the future of her own predetermined experience. That, I don't know. I feel like my head's going to explode. I mean, that is so This truth, you know, that's just it's just truth, ringing true. And it's interesting. Think about, you know, I think about, I have a very, very dear friend who is, you know, kind of, you know, who is self-deprecating. And sometimes that's just humble. But a lot of times, especially in his case, it's really, it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. You know, it's like, well, that's what always happens to me. Well, this thing happened, this unfortunate thing happened, but you know, it's par for the course for me. So that is, I thought about him when I read this, you know, and just because he assumes that's what, I guess I have to put it this way. I think that's what he assumes that he deserves. Why, I don't know. But just think about that. You know, how when something goes wrong, it's like, ah, here we go again. What is that? That's an assumption, right? That we wouldn't say, oh, here we go again, if we didn't assume that this could happen again. So, and consciously or subconsciously, we set these sort of what parameters for ourselves and structures for ourselves that we live in, that we know how things are going to be. But the thing is, we live what we believe. We live what we have the consciousness for. But consciousness can be changed. Our human consciousness can be changed because the truth of our being is infinite consciousness, in which is all that we desire and every good thing. And it is us. It is us. God lives me, lives you, source, infinite mind, infinite, you know, the supreme being, whatever your word is, the Tao, Brahman, whatever your word is. That is all good, all perfection, all life, all grace. That's what we are. So this stuff is stuff we've talked ourselves into. You know, as I said, we live what we believe. We cannot recognize anything in others that we do not have in our own consciousness. It's impossible. And that recognition is attention. And attention grows what it's focused on. Not just in our experience of the other person, but in us as well. We can make our lives and our relationships easier by realizing that we only get what we give. We only get what we give. As with everything else, we fix our relationships by fixing ourselves, by realizing that what we think or expect of others isn't truth, but assumption. If we realize that, we're empowered. We can release our assumptions and have a totally different experience of other people. And this is especially helpful with family. Family, I mean, we know how everybody is in our family. We know how we have to act to get along with them. I mean, and that is all assumption. It's all assumption. We know how certain family members are, and we know how they make us feel. So we put on our armor before we encounter them. And sure enough, every time they prove us right. Because we're just waiting for that. We're just waiting for it. We take it for granted. And all of that is self-inflicted. It's self-inflicted. Your assumptions, again, I have to go back to Neville. Your assumptions determine not only what you see, but also what you do, for they govern all your conscious and subconscious movements towards the fulfillment of themselves. It's incredible to think about how much of our experience is based on assumption. I mean, just honestly, just having read that, having heard that, it's everything. You know, it's like our whole experience is based on assumption. Not just how much, but our whole experience. And just becoming aware of that, makes us more conscious. Our assumptions put us on autopilot. They really do, don't they? If you know how things are going to be, you just go along, you know, expecting them to be a certain way, and they are, and you just go along. You know, on autopilot, we know how everyone's going to be and how everything is going to go. And consequently, they do. And we just go along thinking we're always right. And, you know, that's kind of as funny as it is sad, if you think about it. And the big thing that hit me, that really, really hit me, is our assumptions. Because we know how things are going to be, quote unquote, know how things are going to be, our assumptions keep us from experiencing the present moment. Alan Watts said, acceptance of the present moment allows it to live. Acceptance of the present moment, the circumstance and ourselves in it, allows it to live, allows us to be, to have whatever the present moment holds, to watch it unfold. Well, assumptions exclude acceptance of the moment and exclude us even seeing anything different than we think it's going to be. It's unconsciousness. I mean, it's unconscious. We're just not that we're asleep, but we're not in it, you know? We're not in this moment, getting out of it everything that it's giving to us. This moment is eternity. It's eternity. So through our assumptions, we keep ourselves small. We keep ourselves small. Assumptions and self-concept go hand in hand. You know, they really do. And I'm not going to get off into self-concept, but think about it. The present moment is a living thing that we limit by our assumption. And that's how we keep ourselves small. But we can change it. Just awareness. Because this is a way of life. It's a method of operation, I think, probably for most human beings. And it is a product of our influences. That's what we assume based on, yeah, our influences. Prenatal influence, early childhood, our education, and our life experience. That's what lives in our associative mind, in our subconscious. And those are the things that come to the foreground constantly, constantly. They're the filters through which we perceive everything, the human mind. Those are the filters of the human mind through which we perceive everything that we encounter. We never have a new or uninfluenced experience because that's just the way the human mind works. So we size things up, we size people up, and we proceed according to how we've assumed them to be based on our influences, based on our past experience. We can change this. We can change it. And awareness is the first step. Just knowing and just thinking about how often we do that, to just have that in your head and notice it. Just notice it. You know, when you're thinking about somebody and I don't know, they're not doing what you want them to do. Think about it. Think about if this is an assumption or not. If the way I'm feeling right now, the way I'm acting right now, is not how I assume I should do it. And if what they're doing right now is not what I assume they would do. Just think about it. It's really, really empowering. Really, really empowering. And you know, John Randolph Price, the three stages of learning. First is awareness, to just be aware that this is what we do, what we all do. The second is understanding. You become aware of something, and then you just look into it a little closer, and you pay attention, and then you develop an understanding of it. And finally comes knowledge. And when you know this is how it works, then that knowledge becomes a part of you. And that works for everything. So it certainly would work in the case of knowing, you know, knowing when you're making an assumption. And as Don Miguel Ruiz said, we assume rather than ask a question. That's the alternative. We assume this is happening because we for some reason or another, don't ask a question about it. And there could be many, many reasons behind not asking a question. You know, maybe we think we don't look smart, you know, or maybe we think we're going to get an answer we don't want. That's probably the biggest one. But anyway, as I said, this can change. So we're making the circle, right? So that's what we do. Those are the consequences of living just based on assumption, everything. Assuming everything is the way it is, and then it proves itself to us. Neville wrote, ideas are impressed on the subconscious through the medium of feeling. No idea can be impressed on the subconscious until it is felt. But once felt, be it good, bad, or indifferent, it must be expressed. Feeling is the one and only medium through which ideas are conveyed to the subconscious. Therefore, the man who does not control his feeling may easily impress the subconscious with an undesirable state. Controlling one's feelings does not mean restraint or suppression of your feelings, but rather the disciplining of self to imagine and entertain only such feeling as contributes to your happiness. Control of your feelings is all important to a full and happy life. Never entertain an undesirable feeling, nor think sympathetically about wrong in any shape or form. Do not dwell on the imperfection of yourself or others. To do so is to impress the subconscious with these limitations. What you do not want done unto you, do not feel that it is done unto you or anyone else. This is the whole law of a full and happy life. Everything else is commentary. And that's from his book, Feeling is the Secret. Life's unpredictable, right? It shows up as it will. We have no control over life, but we absolutely can control how we feel and think about it. And the minute that feeling comes up that we don't want, the minute it comes up, you know, nip it in the bud, offload it, sacrifice it, do whatever you have to do to let it go. You know, sacrifice every thought, every emotion, just give it away. And when I say I love the word sacrifice. A lot of people don't. You can use the word surrender. Cast the burden, you know, and my go-to, three magic words. I don't know why I feel this way, but I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for it to that which lives me. I don't know what to do about this feeling is a better way to say that. I don't know what to do, how to feel better, but that which lives me does. And give it away to that infinite God mind, because that's just what, when we feel bad, that's just our human consciousness. That's just our mind assigning some quality to something that we're encountering. You know, it's our perception that it's bad or negative or that we should be afraid. You know, it's our perception. It's not truth. So give it away. And the minute it comes back, because a lot of times they come back over and over and over every single time. Look it in the eye and give it away. Cast the burden, whatever feels good to you, drop it off the cliff, whatever you do, but do something, take action in your consciousness, in yourself, to address it and not entertain it. So this brings me, you know, talking about how we can control how we feel and how we can change our thoughts, our thoughts, and therefore our experience, our feelings, I should say, and our experience, brings me to the Buddha's Eightfold Path, right? The Eightfold Path consists of right understanding, right purpose, right speech, right conduct, right occupation, right effort, right attention, and right meditation. The Buddha said the last three steps deal with the mind. Everything depends on mind. Our life is shaped by our mind. We become what we think. Suffering follows an evil thought as the wheels of a cart follow the oxen that draw it. Joy follows a pure thought, like a shadow that never leaves. Right effort is the constant endeavor to train oneself in thought, word, and action. Right attention follows from right effort. It means keeping the mind where it should be. The wise train the mind to give complete attention to one thing at a time, here and now. Whatever is positive, what benefits others, what conduces to kindness or peace of mind, those states of mind lead to progress. Give them full attention. Right meditation is the means of training the mind. Eknath Iswaran wrote, "Perfection, the Buddha implies, is our real nature. All we have to do is remove the self-centeredness that covers it." And I think that assumption is part of the self-centeredness that covers our perfection. What else would be the motive for assuming the way people and things are? Aren't we just, I think we're just trying to protect ourselves, right? We're trying to take care of ourselves. So we want to make sure we know how things are going to be so that we either, you know, go in and are excited about it, or we put our armor up, or we avoid it. So just think about that. Think about that. We assume because we're protecting ourselves. And that's just my thought about it. Iswaran wrote, someone once asked the Buddha skeptically, "What have you gained through meditation?" And the Buddha replied, "Nothing at all." "Then, Blessed One, what good is it? Let me tell you what I lost through meditation. Sickness, anger, depression, insecurity, the burden of old age, the fear of death. That is the good of meditation, which leads to nirvana." In meditation, we practice the presence of God within us. That's what we do. We make our contact. And those unwanted things cannot exist in the presence of God. That's why we cast our burden on the infinite self within. Anything that hurts us, anything that we're afraid of, anything that we can't get out of our head, we cast that burden on the infinite self where it cannot exist. And we feel the release. We are set free. So, you know, through what I just shared, we've covered kind of the negative aspect of assumption. Now let's look at the positive. Neville wrote, and this is a great quote, "Leave the mirror and change your face. Leave the world alone and change your conceptions of yourself." Man's eternal journey is for one purpose, to reveal the Father. He comes to make visible his Father, God, Source, All, whatever your word is. And his Father is made visible in all the lovely things of this world. All the things that are lovely, that are of good report, ride these things and have no time for the unlovely in this world, regardless of what it is. That which you seek is already housed within you. Were it not now within you, eternity could not evolve it. No time stretch would be long enough to evolve what is not potentially involved in you. The kingdom of heaven. It's the kingdom of heaven. You simply let it into being by assuming that it is already visible in your world. And by remaining faithful to your assumption, it will harden into fact. Your Father has unnumbered ways of revealing your assumption. Fix this in your mind and always remember, an assumption, though false, if sustained, will harden into fact. And I'm just interjecting, good, bad, or indifferent. an assumption is an assumption. So focused on something that you desire, that you want, what you want to express. I mean, that the Father in us is love, is beauty, is grace, is every good thing, every talent, every ability that we have, our integrity, happiness, all of those things are not coming from our human consciousness. Those are, let's see if I can say it in English, expressions of our divinity. They're expressions of our divinity. So, you know, assuming, you know, rather than, oh, what's going to go wrong today? Today's a wonderful day. You know, just giving thanks for a wonderful day, a perfect day. Anyway, back to Neville. You and your Father are one, and your Father is everything that was, is, and will be. Therefore, that which you see, you already are. It can never be so far off as even to be near, for nearness implies separation. What you desire, what you now desire, you already have, and you seek it only because you've already found it. You found it in the form of desire. It is just as real in the form of desire as it is going to be in your bodily organs. You already are that which you seek, and you have no one to change but self in order to express it. Michael Tamura said in his book, You Are the Answer, that a desire comes up. When you have a desire for something, that desire or that want is simply a hello, that you have it within you to express it. And it has to be, because you couldn't think of it if it weren't already in you, in your infinite divine consciousness. You're it. You're it. We are it. We are at the center of our universe. We are supreme in our own orbit. And all we have to change is ourselves to change anything in our experience. And remember, when I say that, remember that we live, everything has its effect on us through our perception of it. So when we change ourselves, we change our perception. It happens automatically. We don't already automatically judge something as bad or good, or bad or good. Bad or good. Those are both perceptions. A thing that's happening is a thing that's happening. Has no quality until we assign it one by judging it as positive, negative, bad, good, whatever. You know, we give every single thing that happens its quality. And in giving it its quality, that designates its effect on us. So we're, as I said, we're it. As Reverend Ike would say, it's all an inside job. It's all an inside job. So, you know, how we think, what we focus on, creates our experiences. Alan Watts said, our world, what we see outside of us, is as much us as what is inside our skin. So whatever we think is affecting us is us. Leave the mirror and change your face. Leave the world alone and change your conceptions of yourself. Well, and with that, I think our circle is complete. And that was a lot. That is just a lot of food for thought. But you know what? It's just, it's encouraging. It's encouraging. It's empowering. And it just takes a little consciousness, you know? Awareness, understanding, and then that becomes knowledge, and things change. Things change. Anyway, thank you all for being here. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone, here on 1-2 Radio and on YouTube, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Have a very, very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thank you.